free choice to accept the blessed gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles back to Proverbs.
We're going to be, just to skip that, I think I put that Proverbs later on.
Good morning. I'm B.J. Stagner, pastor of Sarum Chapel Independent Baptist Church. I hope and pray that today's sermon is a wonderful blessing to your heart and your soul. I want to encourage you to stay tuned at the conclusion of today's message for some vital information for you personally and those that are around you. For without further ado, here's today's sermon.
Paul says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Now, beloved, I am an avid believer in underscoring and writing in your Bible. That's one of the reasons, if you were to look through my Bible, I've been using this Bible here, this Cambridge, for over a decade now. I got it for my 40th birthday, but my precious wife gave it to me about 4 or 5 months earlier. It was the 400th anniversary of the AV 1611 of the King James Bible. And so she gave it to me about 6 months earlier. I began using it then, and I've been using it for over a decade. And if you were to go through here, you'll find note after note after note, highlight, underscore, circle, mark it. And every single thing that is circled or has a note to it or highlighted, there's a reason behind it. And so when you look at that verse 2 there, it says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." I like to circle that word "they." What is "they"? Well, it's the law of God. It's the commandments of God. Look at verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God." Now watch this. "And man." It doesn't say "or," it says "and." And I have "man" circled there. Now we need to understand that God has given us some principles to live by. None of what we're going to read today has anything to do with salvation. None of what we're going to read here in Proverbs in chapter 3 is going to save your soul. This message, this recipe to be healthy, wealthy, and wise in the world today is a current status for those who already believe, for those who are already saved and born again. And I can promise you here this morning that if you will take and apply the principles given here, God will bless your life with being healthy, wealthy, and wise. Let's bow our heads, if you will. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who and what you are, for all that you've done. We pray now for your continual blessing and just simply ask you this morning that, if you will, bless us, Lord, during this time together. Take your holy word, write it upon, again, the table of our heart, that it be forever indelibly written there, that we may be able to obey the principles that you've given us. Again, we may find that healthy, wealthy, and wise life that you have promised us in the Word of God. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to share this with you today, that God has a plan. I want to ensure you that God has a plan. We had Faith RX yesterday, and yesterday's message was on purpose. And I wanted to, in that message, we talked about God's purpose in our life, and we talked about God's plan within that purpose. But that plan and that purpose is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone. God's plan is made manifest. We came out of a 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 yesterday, and we find that God's purpose is seated in His plan, but yet it is made manifest, it is revealed, it is brought to fruition in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if God has a plan, if He has a purpose, and it's fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, that means every single human being, every soul that is in this world today, there is a purpose for their existence. Amen? Now, whether or not they choose to follow that purpose within God's plan, that's their choice. Amen? To think that to teach a doctrine that we are going through this world, it's just ridiculous to think that we're going through this world and puppets on a string. There is a perfect will of God. There is a plan of God that is out there, and we have stepped outside of that plan multiple times, and we've made a mess of things, and by God's mercy and His grace, which endureth forever, we've got back on that right track, but it does not erase the problems and the issues that we dealt with when we got off that plan. Amen. But God's purpose means that you have a purpose. God's plan means that you are not insignificant. You are important. I am important. We ought not think any higher than ourselves than we ought to think. I don't think anyone in here today is better than anyone else. Amen. Matter of fact, I was listening to a message last night with Bailey, picking her up from work, and then a little bit this morning. I had to go down and get an MRI early this morning, and I was finishing up this message, listening to it, and it was speaking about the very first Christian missionary and the very first martyr in the Christian church, amen? And you know who they were? One was Philip, the very first Christian missionary, and then one was Stephen, the very first Christian martyr. You say, what does that mean? What's important about that? Well, we believe in our heart, in Acts chapter 6, those seven men that were chosen to be deacons. Now, the word deacon means servant, okay? Doctrinally speaking, a deacon is not to rule the church. A church is to be pastor-led and deacon-served. That's a biblical pretense. That's the biblical position of the antony of the local New Testament church. Now, seven said all that. We tend to think that God is choosing these men to be to be deacons, and because they were going to serve tables. If you go back in Acts 6 in your mind, the whole reason was because there was a murmuring going on by the Grecians, saying that the widows and all this and that were left alone. So the apostles said, it's not fit that we should wait tables. We're going to commit ourselves to the word of God. Amen. We're going to commit ourselves to the word of God, so our preaching will be solid. So seek you out. They sought out these seven men who were full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Amen. These were good men of God. These were strong men of God, but these were men who had no problem whatsoever in waiting on tables and serving like they should. Had no problem. That means they were humble. They had humility, amen. If I'm honest today, if I think of a beautiful picture of humility within our local ranks, Brother Mel, I think about you. I think about you. I think you are I'm not saying you're perfect by any means, but I think you are a beautiful picture of what humility is to be. And young people, listen. If you can mimic, or if you can somehow duplicate what Brother Mel's humility is, it will benefit you in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, having humility in your life, guys, is a tremendous blessing. So that first Christian martyr was a man who was a deacon. He was a powerful and strong man. It was Stephen. He preached one of the best sermons, if not the best sermon, ever recorded in the early church. And as a matter of fact, the very one who was consenting unto his death, who was Saul, who is also called Paul, who became the greatest Christian missionary that has ever lived, when he preached his first sermon, all he did was pick up where Stephen left off. It was Stephen's sermon that was pricking his heart that we read about in Acts chapter 9 when the Lord said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's a guy who had no problem waiting on tables, amen. That was a man who had no issue whatsoever in serving others, who preached the sermon that led to the salvation of the Apostle Paul. Philip is the same way. Philip is the same way. Here's a man of God. Here's a man of a humble heart. Here's a man full of faith, full of power. And he goes out there, preaches a tremendous sermon to one of the most powerful individuals in all of North Africa, that Ethiopian eunuch who was in charge of the finances, if you will, Candace the queen. Matter of fact, when Stephen led that man to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved and born again, that man took the gospel of Jesus Christ to evangelize all of North Africa. Praise the Lord. These were two men who were considered deacons, who were servants, who had no problem whatsoever to being humble. Now, I'm saying all that to make this point. God has a plan and a purpose fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our world today. He has a recipe for us, and if Stephen and Philip can obey the word of God, if they can submit unto the preaching and teaching of the word of God and become those type of individuals with pure humility, we today can apply God's recipe to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. So have you ever wondered how much of the Lord do we really and truly believe and trust? How much of him do we believe and trust? If we were to take a survey throughout this room today, I would be willing to say that everybody sitting here now would believe John 3:16 without fail, without falter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe we all believe John 3:16. I believe most likely everybody present today probably believes Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We believe those verses. Why? Because those are the verses that tear our heart open revealing that we need a Savior, that we are a sinner, we've transgressed the law of God, and we need a Savior, and therefore, since we need a Savior, we can confess Jesus Christ is God, we can believe that he died for our sins, and he rose again victorious to give us everlasting life, and praise the Lord for that. We love believing the verses for a life that we cannot see, taste, touch, or smell. Isn't that odd? Isn't that strange that we today as Christians, and we call ourselves Bible believers, and we have no problem in having our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ concerning a life that we've never seen, taste, touch, or smell. But our greatest struggle, I believe, in our world today, in our Christian life, is believing that he actually has set a plan in this world and this life, where we are right now, where we are living and breathing this morning, that if we would just follow it, blessings would be present in our life. We want blessings, do we not? Guys, when all the dust settles, when all the problems in our life go away, when things are, as my dad would say, not copacetic, amen. Listen, when things are like that in our life, do you know where we have to go? We got to come back to the truth. We always revert back to that foundation that we know is infallible, that perfect word of God found in the AV, amen. Found right here in this AV, amen. For the English-speaking people, this is the only place the pure truth is found, amen. Now, I'm saying that to make this point. When we want to see what this life has to entail and the blessings that God will give us because he has promised us them in these principles, I'm not saying they're doctrine, but they are principles. I believe wholeheartedly this morning, the Lord gives us patterns and principles to follow. I believe in all of my heart that he, just like he's given us doctrinal truths to obey for eternal salvation, doctrinal truths to understand and learn about dispensations and rightly dividing the word of truth, he's also given us these principles to work out in our life in order for blessings to be found in our days. So I want to talk to you this morning, briefly, I'm going to say briefly, I know that's always, a dangerous thing to say. Usually when I say that I'm not going to be long this morning, I wait for one of those fact checker boards to come across and saying this is partially true. I don't know. I don't intend to do that. Amen. But I want to speak to you about God's recipe to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, guys, we all like to eat. We know that. We like to eat, and there's recipes for food. There's recipes for dinners and lunches and breakfasts. And you know, there is no way you would probably eat one piece of ingredient of a cake. I mean, if I went back here and threw some eggs and lard and flour and whatever else is in a cake, sugar, I don't know what's all in a cake. I couldn't bake a cake in my life depended on it. Amen. But I will tell you this, that if I was to get the individual ingredients, you'd say, oh, I don't like that. But when you start mixing it together and you chuck it in that oven and it pops up, amen, listen, it produces something that is quite tasteful and delicious. That's no different than the recipe that God has given us. At first, guys, you're like, hey, hang on a second. At first, you're like, you know what, preacher? I don't know if I want to do that. Well, but you want that eternal life. Well, praise God for that. But what about blessings in the days today? What about blessings in the world today? So the first thing I want you to notice with me is God's recipe on how to be healthy. On how to be healthy. Amen? On how to be healthy. That's where I see that Proverbs 3:4 popping up. So how to be healthy. Look there with me. Let's read. We're going to start back in verse 1. We're going to read all the way down into verse 8 so we can capture the entire context. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Watch this. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Now, the first thing that you notice within these eight verses is there's a cause and effect with every single one of them, isn't there? It says, forget not my law, but keep my commandments. Why? So you have length of days, so you have a long life, peace. They shall add to you. What? The keeping those commandments. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. Why? So thou shalt find favor and a good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All thy ways acknowledge him. Why? So he'll direct thy path. And he says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. What's going to happen? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Guys, that is health. Amen. Now, health is usually something people think about way too far down in life. And I understand that. I can remember being in my teens and 20s. And probably multiple times a week, I would eat 50 buffalo wings. Fried in lard. I had no problem. Didn't get fat on me. I just ate all I wanted to. But there came a point in my life when that thing caught up with me. And I remember looking in pictures in 2002, second year of our church, a friend of ours that came up from Florida, and he had taken some pictures, and the camera was just a little bit too nice. It was too clear, amen. It wasn't those blurry images. And I thought, good night. I'll just be honest with you. I said, I got fat, amen. I was 270 plus pounds I was at that time. That's the heaviest I've ever been in my entire life. Didn't know it. Didn't even notice it. I said, man, something's got to happen here. You know, I was in my early 30s, 31 years old at that time. And I didn't change straight away. It took a couple years, and then we got serious. And, of course, we fell off the wagon again. And at the age of 35, I was preaching a meeting in Mexico. And for the first time in my ministerial and work life, I got tired. I never got tired preaching a meeting. I could preach all day long. I could preach all night long. I could go out between services and pass tracts out and witness to people and get a couple hours of sleep in the night and hit it and do it again. But this time I found out about 3 days of that, my body was saying, son, something's wrong here, amen? 35 years old, body changes every 7 years, amen? Yeah, that's a proven fact. Every 7 years, there's something that changes. I got on the phone when I got back stateside there in Texas. I said, honey, when I get home, things are going to change. And they did. They started changing. We took it slow. We took it right. And we started getting back in shape and trying to get some health to us. But too often, we think about our health too far in our life. Now, guys, I'm not telling you to go buy a treadmill. You don't need a treadmill. You already have a wardrobe and a closet at home, amen, because that's what treadmills end up being. I mean, they end up being clothes racks. Guys, there are different forms of being healthy. There's emotional health. There's physical health. There's mental health. And by all means, there is spiritual health. Now, there are biblical principles which we can apply in our life here that we find in these 8 verses, which will benefit our health, our decisions that we make, the boundaries we set, and the responsibilities we are commanded to perform. And guys, if anybody ever told you that once you get saved that you didn't have to follow any of the commandments of the Word of God, they lied to you. Amen. If you want health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, if you want a long life with peace, amen, you're going to have to apply the principles that God has given. If you want favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man, apply these scriptures into your life. The Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Keep my commandments, it says. It didn't say keep my suggestions. Beloved, look at the Bible and come back to the truth, as I mentioned earlier. Look at the Word of God and the Holy Scriptures and understand that the heart is the scene of our being. Solomon says, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything that we have in this world today comes out of our heart. It is the place where our life, our actions, our daily living originates. And we're told, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My friend, if you don't keep the commandments of God in your heart, you're never going to keep it in the rest of your body. You're not going to keep it in society. You can fake it, bake it, and shake it as long as you want, but it's going to fall by the wayside eventually. There are those who have forgotten the Word of God. That's what he's saying here. They have forsaken God's law. They have refused to obey him and refused in following the Holy Scriptures. Guys, this is why our society today, if you want to try to pin it down, why our society is so emotionally, so physically, so mentally, and especially unhealthy, is because they have forgotten the Word of God. They have turned their back upon the Holy Scriptures, and it started right inside the church pews and the pulpit. I'm just going to say this, guys. There are some things that we must stand on in our life. Our society, and again, I know I harped about this last Sunday. I'm not going to try to beat this drum again, but our society treats Sunday just as another day. Our time to catch up with everyone because they did their own thing on Saturday. It's sad. We wonder why we have a declining world today. So goes the country, so goes the church, so goes the country. You look back in the times when crime was at its all-time lowest, was when the revivals and the church houses were filled and people were singing gospel hymns and people were trusting the Lord and they were getting saved. Guys, listen, I'm not an amillennialist. I believe there's going to be a thousand-year reign of Christ. Before that, there's a seven-year tribulation. What kicks that off is the rapture of the church. The church is not going to be here for the tribulation. I understand all of that. And I understand that Paul said evil men shall wax worse and worse. I understand that the world is meant to go down this path. I get it. But guys, if you think about it from a common sense perspective, the more people that get saved and apply the word of God to their heart, the less wrongdoing they will do. It's a byproduct of it. We're all sinners, I understand that, and the wages of sin is death, but Jesus Christ paid for our eternal souls so that we would apply his commandments in this world today, so that we would live for him and by him, so that we would benefit our fellow man. I think it's sad because the only one who gave his life for the world has willingly forgotten and forsaken him in the smallest manners. You know, guys, it's a crying shame that this building is nearly empty on a Sunday morning. And I know it doesn't go back 7 years. It goes back 50 years. I understand that. I know that it's something that happened so long ago, and it's going to take a long time to get. I understand that. And I'm willing to dig my heels in, and I'm willing to work and to labor and to serve and all that. But the reality is this. If children of God, if Christians today forsake the law of God and they don't keep it his commandments in their heart today, you're going to find an unhealthy society as we have this morning. Beloved, the truth is if you, I'm going to say this, guys, and again, I'm not harping, but if you can't do 1 to 2 hours a week at church, if you can't do, I understand other issues, I get that, but people are not going to take you seriously. I talked to these two right here with their new jobs. They wanted him to work on a Sunday. They said he had to work on a Sunday. I said, you need to talk to them and tell them you're not going to work in church time. Take a stand. Do the right thing. Amen? How are you going to witness to them and invite them to church when it appears as church is not that important to you? Beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll miss church at every little whim, it's not important. And you know what the byproduct of that is? Empty pews and closed doors. Amen? I know I'm dampening the spirit out. Daisy did such a good job with that song, now I'm killing it. I get that. I'm not trying to. But I'm just trying to encourage you about how you're going to be healthy today. How are you going to be physically healthy? How are you going to be spiritually healthy, emotionally, mentally healthy? Take your Christianity serious, guys. Set some boundaries. I will not do this. Amen? I've said this time. We set those boundaries. I set them 26, 27 years ago. Praise God. People come, if they come and visit our house on a Wednesday night and it's church time, you either go with us or sit here. Amen? If I know you well enough. Amen. And I had plenty of teammates who knew me in the old days. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, I'm the last person on the face of this planet they would have ever expected to be a preacher of the Word of God. Trust you me. But God's grace and mercy, amen, it saved me. And I've had them come through town. I've had them come through with students and players and all that. And I've told them, said, look, guys, we got church at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night. You're welcome to come with us or you can chill here. But I recommend you go to church. And they came to church. And guess what happened? They got saved. Teammates of mine got saved. His players got saved, accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And it completely transformed their life. If you're not going to take it serious, they're not going to take you serious. Amen. You can't witness to somebody and tell them how important the church is if you'll miss it for everything. You're not going to come to my house and work on a Sunday or a Wednesday. I'm not going to skip church for you to come and do this and that. Listen, if it's an emergency, I understand that. I was called out of the pulpit 2 times. They were separated by 12 years. I was called out of the pulpit on my 30th birthday in 2001 to go repair a type 2C hangman's fracture of a girl who broke her neck the night before. I preached Sunday school that morning, and then the neurosurgeon called, and I went. I was already prepared that night, and I went to the hospital, worked the rest of the day to do that. And then 12 years later, almost to the day, just a couple of months difference, was the very same injuries on a Wednesday night, an 82-year-old lady who was involved in every single dance class you can imagine. She was a little frail lady, bless her heart. But Daisy, I know, is involved in her exercises class. Daisy, this lady was doing line dancing and what's the other thing? Square dance. I mean, she did everything in the world. And man, I'm telling you, they were in their 80s, both and her husband, but the most energetic 80-year-olds I've ever seen in my life, amen. And she tripped over a little bitty piece of carpet and hit her head on the nightstand. And she suffered a type 2C hangman's fracture, the only two I ever saw in my career. And I missed church that Wednesday night because of an emergency. 12 years, the only time. Set some boundaries, amen? Set some limits in your life. God will bless that. He'll bless that in ways that you cannot imagine. It may not always be physical. And I'm going to tell you, this is physical. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to be healthy, all areas of health in your life, you're going to have to apply these principles here this morning. So let's ask ourselves this question. Have we forgotten God's law? And I have 3 points. I'm going to cover one this morning. I'm going to cover one. I'll get you out early today. So let's ask ourselves this question. Have we forgotten God's law? When we hear the word law, you know what we like to do? Well, that's not me. That's not me. The law was never intended to save anyone, guys. The Ten Commandments, that law was to reveal that you are a transgressor of God's law, amen? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, preacher, I've never done those things. If you've looked on a woman to lust after her, you're guilty, the Lord Jesus Christ said, amen? And that's happened to every single man. Don't tell me it happened. I heard Pastor Ellis say one time, he goes, get your man card. We'll have to check your man card if it's never happened before. Doesn't justify it, amen, but it happens. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses it all away, amen. That's all. That's what the Ten Commandments was for, to reveal where we stand with God, amen. There's the 613 Jewish laws that they were commanded to keep. They wasn't commanded. Listen, they wasn't saving them. They were teaching them obedience, amen. And they were covering their sins by these sacrifices that were brought in there to set up a principle of when the Messiah came and his blood cleansed us of all our sins. So my friend, when you see the word law, don't run away from that. We want to think about the commandments. We want to think about the 613 Jewish laws. But I want you to listen to Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Yeah, guys, do you know someone who gets offended at the drop of a hat? They always getting offended. They always angry with someone. They always having problems. I know people that no matter what church they go, guys, they've caused problems. They stirred up a hornet's nest. They leave this one. They go to another one. And it's just they got this pattern. Eventually, they need to stop and say, you know what? There's a common denominator here, and it ain't the churches they're going to. It's themselves. But the Bible tells us, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's not talking about the laws, the 613 Jewish laws. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the written word of God. Think about it. The law is the written word of God that we are given to, we are commanded to follow it. We are commanded to keep it. I mean, look at Romans chapter 13 from the screen here. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Oh, but we want to chuck the law out. We want to say, that's not for me. And whereas the psalmist said, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Solomon says here in Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Man, I tell you what. If we would honestly take that verse, I want you to think about this. The next time you say something, type something, post something critical, I want you to step into Galatians 5:14. Here's the caveat. Now I understand Romans 13 is dealing with the Christian church and their responsibilities to the government. Okay. That's where you find out that we are to obey police officers. We're to obey the government. Amen? Psalm 119, you can say, well, preacher, that's Old Testament. But buddy, when you get into the book of Galatians, you don't get any more New Testament church than Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 tells a husband how to love his wife, tells a wife how to submit to her husband, tells that the root and the bond of each one of those things is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Listen, that's what Ephesians 5, my bad. Galatians chapter 5 speaks of the law and the Spirit. It speaks of the Spirit against the lust of the flesh and how the fruit of the Spirit in our life and the works of the flesh. That's what Galatians 5 speaks of, and we preach it all the time. You back up to verse 14, and it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Next time we want to say something ill towards someone, let's stop and say, you know what? Do I want them doing that for me? Next time we want to be nasty towards someone and say something we ought not say, I want you to stop, and I want you to quote Galatians 5:14. Do you know what you're doing? If you'll take that verse right there, and as we read over here, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. If you bind Galatians 5:14 about your neck, if you write that upon the table of your heart, when those ill thoughts and those wicked actions toward your neighbor comes out, you'll reflect that in that mirror of Galatians 5:14. You can stop and ask yourself, wait a second, do I want them doing that to me? It's simple as that. No justification. No, yeah, but I wouldn't do that. No. Do I want them saying that about me? Do I want them turning their nose up to me? Do I want them to criticize me? Beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, that's how you're going to get a healthy life. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. You want a healthy life? Start thinking about others, how you want to be treated. Amen, preacher. James chapter 2. Verse 8, or Professor Ellison, an old message from 1990, preached this the other day. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Ye means y'all, all of y'all, all of us, means everyone, amen? Modern versions want to change that to you. It doesn't mean you. If I say you will do well, that may mean just Carol's going to do well, or Daniel. The Holy Scripture says ye, that means all of us. If we do what? Shall love our neighbor as ourselves. Think about it. You want to make a difference in your neighbor's life? You want to make a difference in your community? You want them to take your Christianity and your church attendance seriously? Then you start loving them the way you want to be loved by them. You start treating others the way you want to be treated. You start speaking about others the way you want them to speak about you. Amen. That's a promise from God, guys. That thing didn't end with the cross. That thing wasn't abolished in the New Testament. These are all New Testament verses. We just read these three, and there are many more that still teach the same principle. So don't be so quick to toss out the verses with the word law in them. This isn't a reference to salvation. Again, I make sure I want to understand that, but it's a biblical principle for a healthy life. A biblical principle for a healthy life. Look at verse 2 with me in Proverbs. I know I've kind of bounced back and forth of these verses, but notice this. It says, for length of days. This is the byproduct. This is the byproduct of obeying verse 1. For length of days and long life and peace shall they, watch that next word, add to thee. Underscore that, highlight it, put a star, do whatever you have to be able to pitch that up, add to thee. We all like to have something added, except for weight. I understand that. But it'll add these. If you will forget not the law of God, if you will apply that into your heart, you know what's going to happen? It's going to add length of days. It's going to add a long life and peace into your days. Look at verse 3 with me, guys. We're going to finish up here in a matter of minutes, just seconds maybe. Verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Now, first we see in verse 1, forget not my law. Now, we're seeing in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Beloved, these are biblical principles established with a cause and an effect. They are conditional. They are conditional. You cannot get verse 2 without applying and obeying verse 1. You're not going to get verse 4 that we're going to see here in just a minute without applying and obeying verse 3. Bind mercy and truth about your neck. Write the law of God, the word of God upon the table of thine heart. Why? Because verse 4 says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If you live a godly life, if you do that which is right before the eyes of God and man, you're going to find good understanding and favor. They may not like you. And beloved, there are plenty of people here that can't stand this church right here. They can't stand a local New Testament church in here because their deeds are evil. And every time we come through these doors and every time I'm preaching and every time we do leaflets, what it does, it exposes them of the sin that they're living. It convicts them so they don't like that. And I understand it. But God has commanded us to live a right life no matter what everybody else would do. Take a stand, my friend. Men, lead your family. Lead your family. I'm just going to say that. And I realize that the verses that we read there, verse 4, I understand that it's in Exodus chapter 20, it's in Deuteronomy 5. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 tells us to instructs us to honor our mother and father that our days shall be long upon this earth. I understand that is a law. I understand that is Old Testament. But beloved, make your way to the screen. This is the last verse we have this morning. Again, you don't get more New Testament than Ephesians. Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Just do the right thing, amen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. What's the next part? And thou mayest live long on the earth. Hang on a second. I thought that was law. That's Deuteronomy. That's Exodus. That's Ephesians 6. Same chapter we get the whole armor of God. Do the right thing. Guys, this was not a biblical principle. If it was not a biblical principle, Paul, by way of the Holy Spirit of God, would not have included it. He would not have pinned it. The Holy Spirit of God would not have told him that this is a biblical fact. When we moved over here, I remember our kids being in the... our children were raised to say, yes, ma'am, and no, sir. Yes, sir, and no, ma'am. That's a Southern thing. I get it. And I know that ma'ams are... Our grandmothers and things like that, and we'll get the kick. I'm not a ma'am, you know, and I understand. It's habit, guys. We don't mean any offense by it. And I know sir is usually, I know it's positional. Some a teacher or somebody's a knight. We get that. But it's the way we were raised. Why? Because it was raised to be respect. And I'll tell you right now, as a child, if I would have ever said yes to my mom and daddy, I would be toothless yet here today. Amen. That's the way I was raised, to honor my mom and my dad, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That is a biblical principle God has given us to follow. And I'm here to tell you this morning, and we're done. These are simple applications in these 8 verses. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go home. I want you to read them today. I want you to read them throughout. We're going to finish this message up next week. But I want you to study them in the AV. All right? Don't get anything hokey pokey. Read it in the AV. And understand what God is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us, guys, if you want a healthy life, you can't spiritualize this. If you want a healthy life physically, you want a healthy life spiritually, you want a healthy life emotionally. I mean, guys, our world is an emotional train wreck. You know why? Our kids have been taught that they came from nothing. They're insignificant. Most of them have been taught they were an accident and unplanned. God had a plan. Amen. Amen, preacher. God had a plan. They're taught that when they die, they go to nothing. Amen? So those children, they surmise in their heart and their mind that they are nothing. And I can assure you this morning, they are something. They are significant. Amen? They're significant in the eyes of God. They're an emotional train wreck today because they feel like there's no purpose in their life. My friend, God has a purpose. God has a plan. It's fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, our world, the life that God has gifted us, he did not have to leave us on this earth. If we were to add up all of our ages in here, my soul, we'd be well into the hundreds of something. Amen? Combined ages of all of us in here. Don't waste those years. Don't waste your Christianity. Don't waste the time that God has said in his infinite wisdom and in his mercy and his truth. He says, I'm giving you a gift that is to live on this earth. Just obey the recipe for a healthy life. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for the precious word. We thank you for the inerrant word of God. We come to you this morning. We pray that you would take it and write upon the table of our hearts as we've just read in the scriptures. I pray that we would not soon forget, Lord, what is said today. I pray that we would not soon forget what the Holy Scriptures have written. And I simply ask you here this morning, as we carry on, as we go forward into the rest of this day and this week and this month and this year, let us look at these principles for a healthy life. Lord, as we come back next week, let us apply how to have a wealthy life and have wisdom in our life. Father, bless us now, if you will, with your precious word. And Lord, if there be a soul out there today unknowing of eternal salvation, Lord, when this invitation is given on the backside of this sermon, I pray that they would bow their hearts and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. And thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this is the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, What would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, guide, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Seren Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.